Let me invite you to take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 32 this evening. Isaiah chapter 32, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. We'll begin there and then we'll go here and there from there. All right? So just open your Bible up with us if you would. And I hope you'll pay attention. I'm going to try to preach fast because I don't know how much voice I've got tonight. So try not to use it all up, hopefully, but I'm going to hug this mic pretty close, all right? Look in Isaiah 32, verse 9, if you will. The Bible says, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Trouble ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones, strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins." I want you to notice here in this verse, Isaiah the prophet had a message to deliver. Oftentimes the message of God is not popular. Amen. Just not popular. We could say it wasn't popular in Isaiah's day or Jeremiah's day, and it wasn't. But the truth of the matter is, anytime you're preaching against sin and you're warning people of sin and the consequences of their sin, it's not going to be popular. There's going to be a lot of people that are not going to like it. They're going to take offense at it. People take offense oftentimes at the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes people get mad. They get up in the service and leave and go out. Now, every time you see somebody leave the service doesn't necessarily mean they're mad, okay? Let me put that out there. So don't just presume that, but sometimes that does happen, and people will get mad. They get mad at the preacher, just they got mad at the prophet. But what I want you to notice especially is in the midst of his prophesying, we find him giving a warning to some folks who are careless, all right? And I don't believe it's just women that are careless, so don't. I don't want you ladies that are here tonight to say, "Wait a minute." So we're going to cover everybody, all right? A lot of people are careless, but in this case, I believe their indifference, their complacency, revealed the careless spirit that they harbored in their life, and carelessness can cause you all kinds of problems. My dad, when something would happen, you know, if you knock the glass over on the table and spill something or something like that, my dad would say, "Carelessness, carelessness, carelessness." And I've decided in our home there were no accidents. It was carelessness, all right? But hey, let's face it, accidents are caused by carelessness, right? They're caused by carelessness. So what I want to look to you tonight, I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit about be wise about carelessness. Be wise about carelessness. And you say, well, why are people careless? I think there's several reasons that'll cause people to get careless in their life. We'll just mention a few of them and maybe mention some Bible characters they applied to. Take your Bible over to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, if you will. It's not a passage of scripture that often is preached from, all right? But there is some happenings here that I believe correspond what we're going to say tonight. A lot of times carelessness comes as a result of repeated routines. You know, we get in a routine. We get going along. Some might call it a rut. We get in a rut. But we have routines in life. I'll never forget talking to a man about what he was doing, and he told me what he was doing for work. He said, "I used to be a mail carrier," and he carried the mail. And I said, "What made you?" Because I know that's usually a pretty good financially rewarding job. So I said, "Well, what made you quit that?" He said, "Man, I got bored to death." He said, "It was just driving me crazy. It's the same old thing." He said, "I could do it with my eyes closed." He said, "Literally, I did it." He said, "I would close my eyes." He said, "I'd walk that route so many times." He said, "I could close my eyes, walk that route, and never miss a step." And hey, when you get in a situation like that, you know you're doing the same thing maybe day after day, we get careless. Never forget when we were, our school, we were putting out a yearbook, an annual, as I call it, call them yearbooks, and we went over to Taylor Publishing in Dallas, where they published ours and where we had them printed, and they gave us a tour of the yearbook factory there, and I'll never forget seeing this guy that had, he was wired up, shackled, handcuffed, however you want to put it, to his machine. And we were talking about it, and he said that's to keep him from getting his hands or his fingers cut off. Because he ran a machine that did the cutting, you know. And he said as long as his hand was there, because it was connected, that slicer wouldn't come down. So he said he was there because people get careless. Get careless. I was called to the courthouse one time to sit on jury duty, and it was a case involving a fellow using a log splitter. And he had split more than a log. We'll just leave it at that, all right? And he had done some major damage to himself. Well, it's a routine. It's a routine. Do it over and over. When we get in those kind of situations, we get to where we think, hey, I can do it with my eyes closed. We get to the point where we think, I don't really have to concentrate. I don't even have to think about this too much. You know, I can just do it and without thinking. There in Leviticus chapter 10, if you will, would you look at verse 1? The Bible said, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. All right? Hey, this was something that they would normally do. They were constantly doing. They were using a censer. They involved in all of that. But that day, they got careless in the doing of it. They got careless in the doing. It was their routine, but they just got careless. And God killed them. God killed him. Why? Well, hey, we get careless when we're in a repeated routine. Not only that, we get careless when we start taking shortcuts. And I immediately followed the repeated routine because I think that's what went on with Nadab and Abihu. They had a repeated routine that they went through, and they said, hey, we can cut this thing short. We can shortcut what God said to do and be all right. And they took a shortcut, and it killed them. Sometimes we think, I'll take a shortcut and it'll be okay. I've gone this way a million times. I'll take a shortcut. I've done this thing. We can do it. Maybe leave out a step here and there, you know, and it'll come out all right. It'll be fine. Hey, that causes us to get careless. The idea that I can take a shortcut, all right, just get a little bit careless in life. And that's going to cause you problems. Why? Well, I decided I can leave some things out that ought to be in. Don't have to do everything that I should do. Builders do that and their building collapses. Builders do it. What was it? They had all those buildings collapse. I think maybe in the earthquake. I don't even remember now where it was. But they got to looking, and the problem was they took shortcuts on the building code, hadn't done everything, slipped some money to the inspector, and hey, people got killed because of it. Because they got careless, all right? And the third thing that causes people to get careless, I think, is unconcern over the consequences of what you're going to do. We get careless because, hey, you know, I'm going to do this, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the consequences of my action, I don't care what's going to happen to me, and I sure don't care what's going to happen to somebody else. And so it doesn't matter. I don't really have to think about the consequences if I do the wrong thing. Hey, there's a guy in the Bible named Achan in Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7. He thought, hey, I don't have to worry about the consequences of what I'm going to do. And God had told him, when you take Jericho, you don't take anything out of that city, no gold, nothing. Nothing, flocks, zip. You just don't take anything out. But Achan thought, well, I can do it and it won't hurt anything. He didn't have too much concern over what was going to happen. He didn't think about what he's going to do to his family. His whole family died because of him. Why? He got careless. Why? He just wasn't worried about the consequences. Wasn't worried about the consequences. Hey, sometimes we get careless because we're overconfident in self. Overconfident in self. We get cocky, maybe a little arrogant because of our own abilities, and think, you know, hey, I can do this. It doesn't hurt. I can handle it. I don't need anybody's help. I can do it alone, and so it'll be all right, you know. And right along with it, we get the idea, nothing's going to hurt me. I can handle that. I can handle whatever comes. It doesn't. We just get overconfident. And we get overconfident, we get careless. There's a fellow in the Bible named Samson that I think that describes pretty good. Samson got overconfident. Samson thought, hey, I'm going to do this. And boy, some of the most telling scriptures when he thought, the Bible said he thought he'd go out like he had other times. He shook himself and I'll go out. But nothing was the same anymore. Why? He got careless. He got careless. Why did he get careless? Because he's overconfident of his own abilities. I've told you about the time when I was a kid jumping off a ladder next to the clothesline, and I was confident in my abilities, and I wound up hanging myself on the clothesline. Yeah, fun day, all right? That was many long years ago, but I still remember it very vividly. Hey, why? Just got careless. Just got careless. People do it. Hey, we get careless because we ignore warnings or we ignore the caution that somebody puts out. Plenty of people in our day go through life thinking, hey, those rules, they don't apply to me. They don't apply to me. And they get the idea that there's really nothing to worry about, so careless behavior results. I wonder how many car accidents are like that. I wonder how many car accidents are like that. Sunday night after church, my son and I were going out, headed over to pick up some pizza. We got out on Watauga Road. I think it changed to Mid-Cities Boulevard when it crossed Roof Snow. And the road was closed. Man, we could see the lights down there, and Lance looked down there and he said, hey, Dad, said, there's just pieces of car laying everywhere down there. He said, you can't even tell what kind of car it was. And I'm pretty sure we saw where they had some people covered up on the road. Why? People get careless. They don't ignore. That speed limit is for everybody. The speed limit is for everybody. But sometimes we get careless, all right? Hey, some people get careless because of the influence of a crowd. Somebody eggs them on. The pressure, the sway of the crowd can cause people to do things, not listen to directions, not listen to counsel, get careless. Do things, you know, maybe trying to impress those that are watching, trying to put that, cause them to get careless. I think a pilot, I believe that's a little bit of what happened to Pilate there with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said, I find no fault in him, and he tried to talk the people into letting him, you know, let me turn him loose, and they said, no, you crucify him, you turn loose Barabbas. Now, Pilate, if he'd have been the man he should have been, and knowing what he knew, he should have said, nope, the right thing to do is the guilty's been convicted, let's punish him. This one whom I find no fault in, we're not going to do it. But he wanted to impress the crowd. Boy, did he forevermore get careless, you know? Get careless. Now, those are reasons people get careless. Now, I don't know if any of them apply to you. I'm sure none of us have ever got overconfident in our own abilities. Except me when I was a kid on the clothesline, all right? I'm sure nobody else ever done that. And, you know, and I'm sure nobody ever thought, hey, I don't have to listen to those rules, you know. And nobody's ever been in, you know, you're running in the same old routine and all of a sudden, wow, how did that happen, you know. We don't do those kind of things. Yeah, we do. But, hey, I want to talk to you about three areas especially that I think the Bible warns us as Christians where we really have a tendency to get careless. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 14, would you? Proverbs chapter 14. Here's where we tend to get careless. All right? Proverbs chapter 14, if you will. Look in verse 16. Proverbs 14, 16. The Bible says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." That rageth, that conveys the sense, if you will, of recklessness. Reckless. When people act in a reckless manner, they're definitely careless. The person who is accused of reckless driving, hey, he's definitely careless, all right? He's definitely going to be careless. So we need to watch out for that, okay? Man, you say, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about, I believe God's people get real careless when it comes to making decisions. When we're raging, we get reckless. We get upset. We get mad. We make careless decisions. Careless decisions. You say, who did that in the Bible? I think King Saul did. King Saul got a little bit careless when he decided he could intrude on the priest office. He had waited for Samuel. Samuel had told him, "I'll be there." And he waited, and Samuel didn't show up. So Saul decided, hey, that's okay. He's not here. It's all right. I will offer the sacrifice. But the only problem was Saul wasn't a priest. Saul was the king. He didn't have the right. He didn't have the position where he could make that decision and say, I'll offer the sacrifice. Boy, God called him to judgment. And as soon as he did it, there was Samuel. He showed up. Just wouldn't wait, all right? Why? He got a little bit reckless in making that decision. When we get careless in making decisions, and maybe because we get a little bit aggravated. You ever made a decision when you were mad? How did it turn out? Most of them don't turn out too good. They don't turn out real good, all right? Man, you need to be so careful when it comes to making decisions in this life. Don't do it when you're mad, all right? Look in Proverbs 10, chapter 10, verse 4. Notice what it says here in chapter 10, verse 4. The Bible said, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Dealeth with a slack hand. A slack hand indicates one that's lazy or kind of lax, if you will. Folks like that are careless about what they do. They're careless in the decisions they make. They won't fully investigate the situation, and they're, you know, just lazy. Well, I'll just go along with it. I don't believe Joshua could ever have been described as being lazy. Joshua, who was the associate of Moses and took over in leading the children of Israel when Moses died, I don't believe you could ever accuse him of being lazy, but he got lax on at least two occasions. He got very lax when they were going to take Ai. They had conquered Jericho in a mighty conquering. Man, God had taken care of the whole situation for them. But it came time to go against Ai, and Joshua sent in some spies. They came back, and they said, won't take that many, 3,000 guys. We can handle the city. It's a small place. Well, they got whipped. Several men died. Why? Well, Joshua got lax. Joshua got lax. He made a decision without really considering, wonder what God wants. Just got a little bit lax in making that decision. He did the same thing when the Gibeonites came to him and wanted to make an alliance with the children of Israel. They didn't investigate the situation. They just looked at it, and it looked like they looked like they've traveled a long ways. And, you know, things look like they have. Okay, we made an... And then they find out, hey, they're just a few miles away. And they've disobeyed God. Why? Well, he got lax in the decisions he made. Hey, you be careful about that slack hand. Be careful about being lax in the decisions you make. You say, well, what do you mean? Especially, I mean this, you ought to pray about stuff. You ought to pray when you have decisions. You're thinking about, hey, I'll be honest, thinking about trading cars or getting another vehicle. You ought to pray about it. You ought to pray about it. You say, well, there's nothing to pray about. I've got to change. Okay, but you pray that God will help you get the one he wants you to have. Pray about it. Ask him to do it. Be careful in the decisions of life. Changing jobs. Folks get married without praying about it. I remember years ago we had Bill Tabor at church, and I was in the youth department, and he was working with the youth one week, and so he was got something going, and between two of the teenagers there, and he said, all right, we're going to have a marriage. We'll marry you too tomorrow, you know. And everybody's laughing about it, but then we get there the next day, and he said, all right, you two, and he called them, and he said, y'all stand right here now. And he was ready. He's ready to perform the wedding, and they were getting to sweating a little bit then, all right? They were getting a little bit worried, you know. Is he really? What's the deal? But I remember he got to a point, and he said, well, wait a minute. Have y'all prayed about this? And they said, well, no. He said, well, we can't do it then. Hey, you know, that's an awful big decision. And yet God's people, I'm not talking about lost folks. I'm talking about God's people. Don't pray about it. I love them, they love me, or, you know, or I love him, she loves me, or I love her, you know, whatever. And they think, well, I can get married. Wait a minute. You need to pray about it. You need to pray about it. Seek God's wisdom. We do things, we get slack hand, we get careless, do it in a lax manner. Watch out for that. When decisions need to be made. One other thing about decision, look in Proverbs 21, would you? Proverbs chapter 21. Here's another thing that happens to us when it's time to make a decision. Proverbs 21 verse 5, the Bible said, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Hasty. Hasty folks. There are folks that get in too big of a hurry. And when you get in a big hurry, you can sure make some bad decisions. Just get in a hurry, you know. Sometimes other people push you to make decisions. If you've ever been on a timeshare presentation. Right? Anybody here been on a timeshare presentation? I have. We went several of them. My kids finally told us they were going to divorce us if we went on another one, all right? But we got some good vacation time out of it. We just had to listen through a spiel. Hey, all of those to me are a rush and a push to get you to sign. Push, sign in, right? You say, why do people do that? Why? And then not just there, but a lot of people push you to make decisions because they're impatient. They're impatient. They've got an idea. They think it's a good idea because they think it is. Then let's do it. And they push you to do it. Some of them do it because they fear they won't get what they want. And oftentimes what they want is money, all right? So they push you to make a decision. Sometimes people push other people because they're consumed with greed. Just consumed with it. Sometimes they push it because they know if you have time to think about it, you'll say no. Say no. I'd strongly urge you. You're making decisions, and the bigger the decision is, the more time you take, the more you pray about it. When they start telling me, they say, man, you got to do this today. I remember looking in the face of one of those guys and saying, now you mean to tell me, if I show up here tomorrow with the cash money in my hand, you're going to say, sorry, you missed it. Well, that's what I figured. Yeah, it's not just good today. Hey, you be careful, all right? We get careless when we get in too big a hurry. Get hasty. We get careless. Hey, need to be so careful. Don't be careless when it's come time to make decisions. Secondly, not only do we get careless with decisions, we get careless with our time. Careless with our time. Everybody figures he's got plenty of time. Let's be honest. Everybody figures, I got plenty of time. Do whatever it is I've got in mind. You know, it's kind of interesting. People that are careful with their money are oftentimes very careless with their time. very careful with their money, but very careless with their time. We have this idea, I got time. There's no problem. Let me take you in the Bible to Luke chapter 12, though, all right? Luke chapter 12, here's a fellow that thought he had all kinds of time, too, all right? And Luke chapter 12, if you will, there in the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, down in verse 19, all right? Luke chapter 12, down in verse 19. Well, I want you to notice this. Now, once again, we get careless with our time. Get careless with it. That's why oftentimes people are late to church. They get careless with their time. And late, not just church, late to other things. Why? Well, we get careless with what time's going on. We look. I bet there's not anybody here that hasn't looked at their watch and go, uh-oh! Wasn't paying close enough attention to the time, right? Luke chapter 12, would you look just at verse 19? And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Hey, you notice that he had plenty laid up for many years? The only trouble was he didn't have the years. He didn't have the years. He had the stuff. He had all of that. But he had wasted that precious commodity. So many people waste time. Time. Now, you don't know, and I don't know, how long we're going to live. Have no idea. You know, but we figure, I'm okay for a while anyway. Even those of us that are no longer young whippersnappers, no longer, you know, in that category, we still figure, yeah, but I got some time. Now, the older person might say, now, I realize my time is short. Yeah, but we're still counting on time. You with me? We're still counting on time out there. We're still figuring it's going to be okay. And what that does to us, it causes us to waste the time that we ought to invest and we ought to use, all right? We waste it. We waste the time. We waste the opportunity to let people know we love them. Hey, man, I've been at coffins and I've stood at funerals where people were saying to that person in that coffin, I'm so sorry. But they wasted their chance. They wasted their chance. Hey, don't waste the opportunity. You know, I'm a believer in if you're going to give somebody flowers, give them while they're alive when they can smell them. We surround the casket with flowers. But hey, and I'm not against that. I know what that shows. I understand. But boy, isn't it good? Wouldn't you like to have them while you're alive? My wife got a bouquet yesterday, one of those edible bouquets. I love it when she gets an edible bouquet. Because I can help her eat it, all right, you know. And that's a good thing. I'm in favor of that. But, hey, it's a lot better to get one of those when you're alive, okay? Man, just let somebody know, hey, there's people you love. How long has it been since you told them? How long has it been since you said, well, I told them that. Maybe like the guy that, you know, his wife said to him, darling, you never tell me you love me. And he looks there and he says, the day we got married, I said, I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. Could I just tell you that's not the best way to work the deal, all right? Just not the best way to work the deal. We ought to let people know, all right? We waste that opportunity. We waste the time we could have. Hey, people waste the chance and the opportunity to spend time with their kids in our day. They waste that opportunity. They waste the time. They don't talk to them. Don't do it. Man, there's so many kids that are being raised now. I don't want to start a fight. I know my daughter-in-law runs a daycare and all that, and I'm not trying to shut them down, okay? Please don't misunderstand me. But I feel sorry for some of those kids that get brought in by 6 o'clock in the morning. They get picked up at 6 o'clock in the evening. They go home. They're in the bed in 2 hours. Man, they aren't spending much time with mom and dad. Boy, what a shame. What a shame. Don't waste that opportunity. Don't waste that time. It is easy for me to sit, and there's one particular picture that comes to mind that I have of one of my kids, and I look at it and I really like the picture, and we were on a vacation and took the picture, and I look at that and I think, man, I can't believe it's been that long ago. I can't believe all those years. And I've often stopped and wondered, did I really spend the time I should have? Did I really do that? But yet, man, I can look back and think the time we spent together. Hey, don't allow your kids. If you got kids, you got young kids, don't allow them to grow up without spending time with them. Let them know. You say, well, we have quality time. Take a hike. Your kid doesn't understand quality over quantity, all right? Now, I've heard people say that. Well, we're going to have quality time. We can't have quantity. You need to invest yourself in doing something about the quantity of time you spend. You say, well, they're driving me crazy. You raised them. Okay? You raised them. So just work it out. You know, figure it out. Hey, man, we wasted time. I guarantee you they'll come. You'll look back and you'll say, sure, wish I'd have spent more time. Wish I'd have spent more time. Hey, I think about folks that have the time and they're careless about it, and time they could have made count serving the Lord. And they don't do it. Could have made it count. Get careless thinking, I got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. You don't have that guarantee. We get careless. Hey, we get careless making decisions. We get careless with our time. We get careless with our talk. You're there in Luke, back up to Matthew chapter 12, all right? Just a couple of books in front of Luke is the book of Matthew. Look, go back to Matthew chapter 12, would you? Just take a look here at one verse with me. Matthew chapter 12, look down, if you will, in verse 36. Notice what the Bible says here, all right? Matthew 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Boy, I think of this. I think there's a lot of kinds of speech could be lumped right in there. Idle words. We get careless with idle words. Sometimes it's profanity. We get careless with our speech when we use profanity. Preacher, everybody's doing it. Good. Great, great. Would you find that in the Bible? It's okay. It's okay to do what everybody's doing just because everybody's doing it. Would you just find that in the Bible? I'm tired of people using that as a defense, you know, for doing the wrong stinking thing. But now I realize it's common. I realize we hear it an awful lot, but it doesn't excuse us for engaging in it. We'll give an account for every idle word. Well, I just don't think about it. Wait a minute. Hell is not an adjective, okay? It's not an adjective, it's a noun, it's a place. It's a place. Well, we need to realize that. We need to be careful what we use, what comes out of our mouth. Every idle word, gossip. Well, preacher, it's true, yeah, but still gossip. Still gossip, doesn't need to be said. Words that are uttered without any thought to the consequences that may come. Hateful things that are said, oftentimes in anger. And if we hadn't have been mad, we wouldn't have said it. Sometimes I think it would have been good if God would have worked it out that when we got mad, our jaws would lock up. Because man, do we ever say stuff we wish we hadn't have said because we're mad? I just get mad now. Well, wait a minute. Every idle word, those hateful things, those unkind words that come out. I said, preacher, don't you ever do it? Yeah, but I'm not proud of it. Need to be careful. Need to be careful. Hey, we're careless with our talk. Those idle words, things that come out. Hey, we just get standing around, you know, and maybe a bunch of guys just stand around, get to swapping jokes, and the jokes get worse. Hey, idle words. Idle words. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18. We start talking about talk and being careless in talk. Proverbs chapter 18. Look, if you will, down in verse 13. Proverbs chapter 18, down in verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Once again, we're talking about talking and the words that we use, Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You say, well, who would do that? We do. We do. We often say things that we really and truly do not mean, all right? And we really haven't thought about it very much. We haven't even heard the whole story, okay? And we form an opinion after having not even heard the whole story. Man, I could draw so many illustrations with kids in school and parents at home. And kids, you know, I always tell parents at the beginning of the year, look, we'll oftentimes say it like this, we promise not to believe everything your child says about you if you'll promise not to believe everything they say about us. But it's amazing. Kids go home and they tell things. Now, wait a minute, I don't mean lying. I'm not talking about the kids go home and lie, no. You're calling a kid a liar, no. But kids have their perspective. But their perspective is not the same as your perspective. All right? And it's sometimes parents come in and, man, they're all in a huff. They're all bent out of shape, you know. And they don't know the whole matter and they don't want to give you a chance to tell the rest of it. Who is it, Paul Harvey? The rest of the story? They don't want to hear the rest of the story. I remember one time, man, it was years ago, my dad, we had some folks came in, and they were just upset about what had been said about their kids, you know, and my kid wouldn't do it. And it just so happened on that occasion, my dad said, well, I'm the one that saw them do it. Why don't you hear the whole story before you form your opinion? Hey, people do that, though. We form an opinion and we're ready, you know, we answer a matter before we've even really heard it. We try to spit it out. We try to give the answer before the question is finished. All right? We don't have the facts, but we make our judgment. Hey, you put your foot in your mouth oftentimes when you do that kind of thing. And we speak without thinking about it, you know. Now, sometimes it results in very funny situations. And if it always came out funny, okay. But boy, sometimes it's not funny at all. It's some tragic things happen. Because somebody speaks, they give an answer without really even considering the whole story. Look, be careful. Don't be careless with your talk, all right? Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes is the book in the Bible right after Proverbs and written by and large by the same individual, Solomon. And in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2, we see this. Be not rash with thy mouth. None of y'all have ever done that, have you? I'm sure I'm the only person that's ever done that. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Somebody ever said, well, you're not talking. You say, I'm trying to do what the Bible says. Trying to do what the Bible says. Drop down to verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Hey, so what are you saying? We're talking about promises that are made and vows that are taken. Hey, we need to be careful. No, don't be careless in that. It's easy, very easy, to casually and carelessly make promises to people and then never get around to keeping them. Because we didn't think it through and we just casually said, yeah, I promise you I'll be careful. The Bible said, be not rash with thy mouth. Be not rash with thy mouth. Be careful. Be very careful about making promises. We make promises and then don't keep those. Those things can ruin your reputation with other people. It'll cause them to doubt your truthfulness. There was a day, and many of you, we've mentioned this before, there was a day when a man's word was his bond. If they made an agreement, it was a verbal and shook hands on that thing, it was a done deal. I mean, that was it. It was done. It would be taken care of. But the truth of the matter is, oftentimes today, you can't, you say, well, I'm going to have that signed contract. You can't, if you can't trust a word, that signature's no good either. You know, it just gives you a better legal leg to stand on. But hey, you and I, we're not just anybody. You, child of God, and as a Christian, you stand before God, and you have a testimony of that. You hurt yourself with other people, and you hurt the cause of Christ when you make promises and continue to break those promises and don't keep them. And then folks make a vow to God, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, Lord, if you'll help my son, or if you'll rescue my daughter, and if you'll do this or you'll do that, then Lord, I promise you I'll... Hey, you've just made a vow to God. You've just made a vow to God. And God said it's better for you not to make a vow than to vow and not keep it. It's a whole lot better that you not do it, all right? Boy, if those words come out of your mouth, you've agreed to do something before God, you're to keep that word. Don't be careless in that, all right? Don't be careless in it. I'm reminded of an old joke I heard years ago. Fellow there was on the airplane, preacher was on the airplane, and man, all of a sudden it hit terrible turbulence. That plane was bouncing all over everywhere, and the guy up in the seat in front of him, he started praying. And the preacher heard him, and he heard that fellow say, oh God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll give you half of everything I own. And man, as soon as the words were out of his mouth, boom, that thing leveled off. It never bumped again, and not only that, it's the smoothest landing ever been. And they disembark, they're walking off the plane, they're walking along there. The preacher tapped the guy on the shoulder and said, listen, I heard your prayer. Heard your vow to God that you said you'd give him half of everything you own. He said, I'm a preacher and I'll help you keep that vow. But then the guy looked at him and said, I made a better deal. I've said if I ever get on another one, I'll give him, he can have it all. Yeah, that's the way we do. We think I can make a vow, then I can vow out of the vow. You can't. You can't do that. Hey, you and I need to realize we need to be wise about this thing of carelessness. That means take your time. Resist the pressure that's come. Give consideration to other people. Don't get overconfident. Watch out for shortcuts. Listen to warnings. Don't relax in your routine. Hey, what are we talking about? Just don't get careless, all right? Don't get careless. Serve God while you can. While you can. Need to be wise about carelessness. I'm sure tonight that I'm looking at people that have been careless. We've done it. You know, sometimes we get careless. I was careless one time shutting the garage door and pinched my finger, worst I've ever pinched it in my life. I was just careless. That wasn't a big thing. It didn't do anything except to me. And it gave me a sermon illustration. But I don't want to sacrifice any more of my fingers for sermon illustrations. But wait a minute. There's oftentimes we get careless and we pay for the rest of our life. Don't let that happen. Hey, somebody else has to pay because we get careless. Be wise about carelessness. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, help us see the truth of the Word of God.